Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own assistant. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast, episode number 8. Joining me are Sydney Hubbard, Bree BV, and Leanne Arimley, and we're going to talk the things to know beyond your task list today. Because finding a VA is kind of like dating. You wouldn't marry somebody just because you liked their online dating profile. You'd want to like go out to dinner and have conversations with them and get to know the person beyond the profile before you said, I do. The same is true with finding, hiring, and working with a VA. So what qualities are you looking for in your VA? You have your handoff list, you know your budget, you probably know what kind of VA you're looking for, but what do you need in the person, not just the title? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I always like to say it's about the fit. So we've talked about what kind of VA you're looking for. If you know that you need a collaborator versus a doer, that's important to know. What are some topics that you feel are important things to bring up in a conversation? Or what do you look for when you kind of have that initial conversation with a potential client? Sydney.
I think for me, one of the most important things would be communication style. And I think that goes beyond, like, do you like to email? Do you like to text? Do you like to call? And all of those things are very important. And I think that's definitely a part of communication. But I think going beyond that, I think communication style can mean more of what types of things do you need to talk about surrounding your business? And also, do you communicate in a way that is clear for me, the VA, to understand? Because I might understand something one way and you might understand it another way. And I think that's the whole point of collaboration and communication. But I think if the client wants something extremely specific, but our communication styles don't match, so I'm not understanding the specificity of what they want, I think that like Rachel said, like it's a fit thing, and like that wouldn't necessarily fit.
Yeah. I actually think there's a lot that goes into communication styles because, you know, you said, are you better by phone, email? I had a client who put everything she needed, all caps, in the subject line of an email. Oh, that did not fit with me at all. I was like, thank you, but we are not the right fit. Because it felt like she was yelling at me every time she sent me an email. I didn't know that that was a thing for me until I was faced with it. I think also, when we talk about communication styles, do you think in email or do you need to talk about it? I had one client, he did a lot of driving and I would say, hey, yeah, just send me an email of what you need me to work on. And he never did. But if I called him up on a Friday, oh, the task list I had for the following week filled up all the time we had. So I think, from a client perspective, knowing that, what's come up for you, Bree, in terms of communication styles?
Yeah, so we with the clients that like to talk things out and stuff too. And I feel like too, sometimes things, you can text it in the exact same words, but if you say it either tone or something, it can just register differently too. So we also usually try to have a way where people do voice memos. So then if it's not something, you know, like they're thinking about it late at night and they don't want to lose the thought or whatever, they can still send it to us through a voice memo or a different channel that way. So we like to have that as well. And one of the other things I like to consider with communication is, you know, like how do they want to receive information? Like, is relationship building really important to them? Do they want to have as part of our agenda for our meeting that we spend the first 5 minutes checking in with each other? How's life? Because there's important information that comes from that too. Oh my goodness, you know, like there's a family emergency or you're not been feeling well. Well, that makes sense why I didn't get this information. It kind of brings a little bit more human into it as well. And, but some people that they're like, I don't have time for that. That's not part of how they're made. They want to have more of an action base. Like, okay, let's go through the agenda. Here's what we need to talk about. Here's our next steps. Thank you very much. See you next week. Whatever that is. And some people don't need a weekly meeting. Some people want it every 2 weeks or once a month. So knowing how much that needs to look for you and that it can be adjusted. I find in the beginning, we need more regular meetings to kind of get into that workflow, to get that know, like, and trust thing going on, and to find out those tasks and those things that come up in conversation that you may not have thought about. And kind of once you get that flow, maybe it is only every 2 weeks or once a month where we can be like, okay, let's do a roundup. This is what's coming up. But then again, that's like an evolution thing and kind of just checking in with each other to see where everybody's at and what expectations are around how you want to receive information.
Yeah. I think it's important to note, like you said, evolution, but I also feel like it's important to know where you are starting from when you're having that initial call, because working with a VA, working with a client, you learn those things as you go. But in the beginning, you might feel like, oh, if I ask for a weekly meeting, it's too much, or my budget doesn't allow it because, right, I only have 5 hours. And if we meet every week, that's 4 of the 5 hours. But if it's important to establish that you need that, need it.
And there are valuable things that come out of those conversations, right? Like, do you want a review process? What are your time turnaround expectations? Like, those things all matter too, or making sure you don't feel in the way. And some people don't want to know that part either. And that's okay too. So understanding those pieces in the communication.
Yeah. For communication, most of the time I let the client decide how they're going to communicate with me. So I kind of morph into what they're looking for. Your comment about all caps in the subject line. I had a client who ended every sentence with 2 exclamation points. The entire email, every time. I'm like, what the heck? Is he trying to make a point? Is it, you know, is it like, this is a, it was just how he wrote. And it was one of those things that once I learned that's how he wrote, it was like, okay, whatever, I'm fine. But at the beginning, why are there so many of these exclamation points? I barely started working with the person. So learning that part of things, especially in writing, the way people write. Mm-hmm. Some people like to use really high-end words to explain something that's relatively basic and could be used in much shorter words. Once you figure that out, if you don't have the vocabulary they do, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, either you need to bring your speech down to my level, or I need to walk around with a thesaurus or a dictionary. So,
or you know, you copy the paragraph and you put it in ChatGPT.
Exactly. You knew where I was going with that. AI has helped a lot with that kind of stuff. But knowing where your client is, if they are an academic type person, if they're a PhD and this is the level they speak at, but you have a hard time understanding that, that may not be a good match for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other, it goes the other way too. If you are a younger VA and you are talking to an older client, that speech pattern is different too. So you have to make sure you understand what they're saying, which I think Sydney was trying to get to, was you gotta talk the same language. And if you don't talk the same language, you may not be a good fit. Somebody's going to have to adjust, or they have to find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as communication modes, I just go to whatever they want to work with. They want to work on Slack or, you know, Discord. Oh, please not Discord. But if they want Discord or any of those other methods, you know, I have one that sends everything through Messenger on Facebook. I'm like, really? Yeah. Okay, fine. You know, as long as I can figure out what they want, I can work with that. But not everybody can do that. Not every VA works that way. And then the biggest one is language. Because I'm sorry, if I have to pull out a dictionary to figure out your sentences, we're not a good match.
That's funny.
I'm glad you're amused by it.
I'm very amused by it. I'm like, I'm just imagining you, especially AI, just going, I don't have time to look this up. I'm just going to
summarize. Put this language for a second grader, please.
Some other things to think about in communication. It's not just the everyday communication, but how do you communicate anger or disappointment, like when mistakes happen? And how do you work through those? Are you open to having the conversation and giving a benefit of the doubt, or are you a one and done, it's over? Having worked through some of those things will help you in terms of asking the questions or hearing the answers when a VA kind of talks with you. So communication styles, knowing yours and being able to communicate it during the getting to know you process. Personality styles. I have a 30-minute discovery call because I think it's important to know, do we like each other? Can I listen to you speak? Do we get along? I am very relational. I like to be friendly with my clients. I want to know about their life because, like you said, Brie, like it can impact the working relationship. If there's always family emergencies, be nice to know that. But I think knowing, do you want somebody who's fun? Someone who's serious? I'm kind of extroverted on the phone and on Zoom, but I realize like shy people intimidate me. Because until I get to know them, right? Like, because you don't know, are you angry? Are you happy? Right? If they have like the Chuck Norris, like all their expressions are the same, I can't. I'm like, I need to know that, right? But somebody might look at me and be like, you are too boisterous. This is not going to work, right? Kind of thing. So, and then like, I think kind of knowing like, if you want to become friends or if you're just coworkers, are you the get rich quick type? Or do you kind of go with the flow and you want to grow your business organically? Do you micromanage? Are you micromanage? Like, do you need to have a rein on everything? Because these kinds of things, if you know them up front, then you can find somebody who fits that. What do you guys look for or think about in terms of personality styles?
I think one of the things I look for is someone who is more relaxed in their style of speaking, and you know, they understand there's a business, but they understand there's a world outside their business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've had the clients that are everybody's looking at my business, so I have to do this right now. And oh my goodness, and I'm like, wow, okay, not everybody's looking at your business every second of the day. And let's, you know, bring it down a notch. I know the person who's that type, I can't work with. I can't. It's too much for me. I like to think I can work with a bunch of different types of people, but I've learned over the years that type A really go, micromanage, not my kind of thing. And I think I'm more like you, Rachel, where it's like, I want kind of a relationship. I kind of want to know what's going on. And, you know, are they married? Do they have kids? Is there, you know, something else besides, you know, how their business is doing? Because everybody's human. You don't want just the business face, because that's too easy to just shut off. And I want to care about my clients. Mm-hmm. If it's just a business, I don't necessarily care about it because it's a business. It's not a person with a business, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I find I'm similar. Like I for me, I like to really connect with the people. Like, I feel like I emotionally invest in our work as well. Like I love that relationship. I love getting to them. In fact, I am currently working from a client's house because I'm here visiting with them. Like, even though a lot of my clients don't live in my hometown, I like to try and connect with them in person if I'm able to as well. So those kind of relationship things are important to me, and feeling their passion. Like Leanne was saying, like, are they passionate about what they do? Are they passionate about what they, you know, what do we have similar interests and things outside of what we're doing in here that also helps us relate and understand each other on a different level? Those kinds of things are important to me. And also, like, to what you were saying, Rachel, like, are they, and Leanne, like, are they looking for like quick turnaround times and everything's urgent and everything's like, okay, so I just realized this, it needs to come up tomorrow. I mean, those things happen, and, you know, here and there that happens. It's cool. Let's help you out. But if it's consistently like, hey, we said 3 weeks ago we were going to do a newsletter, I still don't have the things from you. It's due in 2 days and it's supposed to go out. Like, I can't live in that. I like to have buffer. I like to, like, how can we plan ahead? How can we have everything at least a week ahead, so there's time for that review process, make sure everything's set up, test out the tech, that kind of thing. I don't like living in that last minute anxiety. So that's something for me as well that I've discovered. So knowing that, you know, if clients are leaving things to last minute, that doesn't work for me. But there are things that come up if it's not a consistent thing, then that's something we can work around. And I do try to be flexible in a lot of the ways that we do work. Like, we use a few different platforms and stuff. And if it's like, if this platform doesn't work for you, how can we adjust so we can still have communication avenues that everybody can work in? We try to limit it so it's not too broad. So it's like, out of these three, which can we pick? But we do try to make it so like there's flexibility in that as well for how do you need to receive information? How do you need to receive where projects are at and things like that?
I will say around that, if you as a client are currently operating at that last minute kind of energy frequency, but it's something you're wanting to change, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the people who thrive in that last minute space and don't want to change. Just to be clear, because a lot of my clients come to me because they're constantly in that last minute because they don't have systems and things in place. And that's what we do. We help you set that up. But if you're not wanting to set that up, that's a different place to be.
And there are people that would work with that.
There are, yeah. Not me. We're not a beck and call girl, but yeah. Sydney.
Yeah, I think that personality is, are you extroverted? Are you introverted? But I think it also ties into a lot about how you run your business, mm-hmm. right? And is the way that you run your business, is that compatible with the way that a VA is running their business, right? I think that personality really determines if those puzzle pieces are going to fit, because I think how your personality also determines your communication style. Your personality determines what tasks you're going to find most important, how you're going to react when something doesn't go the way you expected to, because, I mean, that's going to happen. Like, it's a business. And I think knowing that, doing that introspection to look at, like, okay, in my business, I tend to do this, this, and this. And I think I know that Rachel has talked about this before, it's knowing those patterns, knowing those systems, I think will make it a lot smoother to hand off things, and also to just have a working relationship with a VA.
I also think under personality is leadership styles, because it kind of is that micromanager, go with the flow. But I also feel like this has come up with a couple of clients. They have an expectation that a VA is just going to know what to do and they don't have to lead in any way. But it depends on how much you know your business and can verbalize and communicate the things. I think leadership has an element in there as well. All right, time availability. So the joy of being a VA is it's a flexible job. And most of us have created the business to have the flexibility for our own lives, family, business. So since a VA is not an employee, their available work hours may differ from yours. And is it important to you that they're available during your work hours, or are you okay with them working on your stuff whenever they get to it? That's a question to have. Do you work to emergencies? And do you need someone ready at any time? Because as we discussed, we're not that, but there are people who are. So if you know that that is your tendency, then that's what you want to look for. And since VAs can work anywhere, we talked about domestic and overseas and how wherever you're listening, that could be either side of the pond. Is it important that your VA is in your time zone or that they have work hours that match your time zone? And can you work within their time zone or their working times? What other things do you consider for time availability?
I think that for me, time availability is huge because I'm a college student. And so any client that I'm going to work with should know, like, first and foremost, like, I am a college student. And I think that also goes for, like, how many times do you want to meet per week? And how far ahead are you going to give me what I need to finish a project? Because if I don't get what I need in time, there's a higher likelihood that, like, I just can't get to it at all because I have assignments and classes and everything like that in my day-to-day life. I think also for me, I work weekends. Like, weekends are when I do the things that I do for my business. And if a client would want me to work weekdays, I think that would definitely be a challenge, and that would definitely be something that we would have to figure out for different people, depending on what they have going on outside of their life, right? Like, for some VAs, their business is the thing that they do, right? For other VAs, their business is only one of the many things that they do. And so knowing that can be important when you're looking for a VA.
I think too, that's where the time availability goes along with, like, that turnaround time expectation, right? So, like, if you're looking for things that are going to be done in the next day, is that person working hours going to be, and is that an arrangement that you've made that it's like, if I give it to you by the morning, can you have it to me by the next day morning, or whatever that expectation is, right? And then I find that the time zones is a really big thing for me and my clients and stuff too, like making sure, like, if the earliest I want to do a meeting is at 9 o'clock mountain time, and I have Eastern clients, but 11 a.m. is the earliest that they could have a meeting isn't going to align with their working, then that might become a problem as well, right? So knowing what your hours are, what the other person's hours are, and if it's something that can work with the turnaround expectation as well as those connection points. And also for communication, right? Like, if I'm still working at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm sending you a voice memo, is there a way where you don't have to hear it till the next day because you're now trying to turn off? That's also important too, right? For as business owners, sometimes we forget that, like, having that turn off time is important. So that's where we like to try and use something like Slack or an app like that, where you can set the hours where it doesn't notify you. And we'll just know that we're putting it here for when you do have your work hours, but it's not a lost thought. So are there ways to work around that too, so that it's not when they're on their off hours and we're still working that there's feeling like you can't turn off?
Yeah. And it can work the other way too. Cause, like, mm-hmm. when I had clients on, like, almost all my clients are East Coast clients and I'm Pacific. So, you know, they've been up for 3 hours before I even get into the office. And so it's great because I can work and I can work until 5 o'clock my time, and I don't expect responses from them, but the responses are usually there in the morning when I come back to start. So yeah, it can work both ways. Like, it can be good or bad depending on.
Yeah, there's definitely benefits to it.
I think it goes with communication too, is being upfront about it all.
Yeah, in our contract, we actually have that communications will be responded to within 24 to 48 hours. Generally, it's the same day or whatever, but there is that buffer. Should somebody be sick or whatever else, like just to know that. And so that's something that we've stipulated and communicated with our clients, but some people might not be okay with that kind of thing as well too.
Yeah. I think you mentioned contracts when we were brainstorming this, and we're going to get to that as a broader topic, but I think having that the time expectation and availability in your contract that you can kind of go back to, like, no, I'm generally in the office from this time to this time. Anything that happens off hours is a benefit, not a norm, right? Kind of thing. But it is that setting the expectations. And I think contracts are usually where that is and in the conversation. Leanne, do you got any?
I think you guys covered almost everything. I think the biggest part is as long as you communicate what you expect and they communicate what they expect, there should be a pretty good, you know, you should be able to make sure you have a good fit. Time zones are always they're always looked at as a negative, but as Rachel pointed out, it could be a benefit. You know, her East Coast clients just extended their workday by 3 hours and they're not actually doing the work. So, you know, those kinds of things work well. One of the things I've noticed, especially when Sydney was talking about she's a college kid, she's got classes and things like that. Some VAs have, and I know when my kids were much littler, I had like the middle part of my day was not an option because I was picking up children and dropping them off at things and all that kind of stuff. So I worked in the morning and then I had a big gap and then I'd work at night. And as long as my clients knew that, they were okay. It was the ones that either weren't listening when I told them or weren't okay with it where we started to have the problems. So definitely it's a communication thing, but VAs, we set up our business based on what we need. So my kids are now adults. I don't have the gap in the middle of the day that has to come out. But it has moved as they've gotten, you know, they were very young when I started. And it was, I used to work around nap times. Basically, I only worked at nap times. But, you know, as they got bigger and I have bigger gaps. And as long as the client stands up for what's important for them, the VA stands up for what's important for themselves, it'll work. But only if you communicate. So, yeah.
And if you're honest with yourself.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of times you can go and like, yeah, sure, no problem, it'll work out just fine. And then you realize, oh, I didn't know I had that as a need.
Yep.
Yeah.
And maybe having a game plan, should there be things that come up, how do we want to discuss it? Like if you have that game plan where there's issues beforehand on how you want to communicate around it, it kind of takes away that, how do I bring it up? Or I just don't bring it up and then we just don't work together anymore, where it could have just been a simple conversation. So I think having that in place as well, like, you know what, let's try this out. And, you know, let's check in a month and see if there's any problems or if there's something that comes up beforehand, please let me know. Feedback's how we learn. That kind of conversation helps with those kind of moments too.
Yeah. And that's communication. I mean, it's like a relationship, you guys. The VA client relationship is like a relationship, right? If you don't communicate, things start to fall apart. So remember that part. All right, we're going to shift into security needs and then we'll wrap up. Security needs. Many times a VA is privy to important and sensitive or confidential information. So if that is part of your business, then you need to think about your specific needs around security. Do you need a non-disclosure agreement as part of your contract for the VA to work on your projects? You know, some VAs work off their dining room table, or used to, with their computers in full view of family and kids. Is that going to cause issues if a family member is walking by and sees them working on your stuff? You know, up until September, I shared my office with family, all different family. So I didn't have the luxury of locking the door and having things where people couldn't get to it. Now I have a office with my own door, yay, with a lock. Sorry, get very excited about that piece. But is that, like, my clients I was very upfront with them. My kid, because I started when my kids were young, so they were always around. So I couldn't work with clients who needed security type of things. Now that I've put systems in place and they're adults now too, they've outgrown the what's mom working on stage. But I still, for my comfort level, I don't work with clients that have really strict security needs, probably because for so long it wasn't an option. What do you talk about when it comes to security?
I think for the most part, because I've always had an office, I haven't thought about, what people can see so much. For security, I always try to make sure that we're doing things as securely as possible, more through the internet. Mm-hmm. So things like, hey, yes, you need to give me a password. How about don't put the username, password, and website all in an email as you send it to me? So, those kinds of security things, I lead the client more than let the client lead me, only because that's how my brain works. Although I have had clients say, this is highly confidential and I'm going to give you, a 20-step system you need to get through to get to whatever account it is. I'm fine with that, but I know some people aren't. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on what everybody is comfortable with. For me, security one way or the other is fine because I have my own office I have for 20 something years. That's fine. But if someone were to say, hey, I don't want to be hearing our phone calls. Okay, now I've got a problem. Nothing's soundproof. And it is still a home office. So, those kinds of things, obviously I would have to say, okay, I'm not the right person for you for that. How about you, Bri? I'm sure you're pretty careful on your security stuff.
Yeah, we have password vaults and things. And sometimes either we'll find ways to get the passwords from clients in a secure way and put them in ourselves, or help set up a client so that they have their own password vault and can share it through us that way. Especially if it's something they're like, I don't really want you to know the password, but I want you to have access. Then we accommodate that as well. We do have a non-disclosure in our contract. I have worked with people who wanted an additional one on top of that, that we gladly will sign and make sure we adhere to. And just as a general rule, like, we don't be like, oh, so-and-so is doing this or whatever. If there's some ideas that we want to share, it'll be more of like generalizations of things that we've learned that we've been testing. And sharing information that way, but never specifics or things like that on other clients. And that's kind of how we go about it. I haven't really had other things come up. Like, we have everything backed up on cloud-based stuff and things like that so that everybody has access and hard copies on some computers and things like that. But other than that, we haven't had any other needs that have come up in our world yet.
Sid, anything come up for you?
I think you guys covered it all. I think for me, it's the main security things is just like, yeah, like I'm getting username and password. So protecting that and making sure like, okay, like I'm on my personal account now. I'm not on like a business, someone else's business account, using that, all of that responsibly. And again, like I'm a college student. I bring my computer places because I'm going to class and stuff. And so I think understanding that as like a lifestyle type piece and like who you're looking for as a virtual assistant is good to keep in mind.
Thank you. I know we're going to talk about contracts, but I kind of feel like that's its own episode. So stay tuned. Any last bits before we wrap up?
I think the last piece that I had was knowing, if it was important to you to have a VA that's very passionate about your business and maybe has like a hobby that's like in line with your business and is like very like understanding in the know, like if that's important to you or if it's not important to you, I think that all virtual assistants will respect the businesses that they work with as professionalism. But if you want like an extra layer of like that, like this virtual assistant has like interests outside of their business and your business happens to align with that, Like if that's important to you, or if it's just kind of a cherry on top, I think that would also be something to think about.
And I think VAs can tend to niche into areas that they are equally passionate about. So, you know, finding if the VA is passionate about the business that you're doing, I think that's a plus. That is our episode for things to consider beyond your task list. If you have any questions, you can email us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com or use the link tree to connect with any one of us individually. And we will see you at the next episode. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We are wrapping up for our summer vacation, but please subscribe on your favorite podcast channel or on YouTube to be reminded of when we come back. And we will see you soon.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.